You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.
You're listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, now part of the Chairshot Radio Network, on thechairshot.com. Remember, always use your head.
You look like a dude who should be pumping my fucking gas.
This isn't doing it for me. I'm not getting enjoyment out of this.
He was a before the bell rings all-star.
All right, everybody. It is Tuesday night, December 30th. The year is winding down. The year that is 2025. I'm going to flush it down the toilet come tomorrow night. You are listening to the Mindless Wrestling Podcast, part of the Chairshot Radio Network. I am the man with the award-winning and holy beard, DJ. I'm going to go around the room here, introduce this cast of characters that we have each and every week on this show. First, I'm going to start with the guy who holds us up every week, and this week we're starting somewhat on time. He is the resident high flyer of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. He hails from the Purple Haze and Cloud Nine. He is Bucky's tag team partner, the man with the bionic back and destined to go through a barbershop window, Jason. We are starting mostly on time this week. Thank you, sir.
I told you I'd remember. I didn't tell you when I'd remember, but I did remember. And so, again, a wizard is never late. Nor is he early. He arrives precisely when he means to. And when I mean to is when I remember.
In spite of my best efforts, yesterday I sent a message into the chat thread. I said, Jason, this is your friendly reminder that we are recording on Tuesday this week. Because Jason, if I throw his schedule off, Jason's like me. He's very regimented. And, you know, we record on Thursday. DJ? What?
What did I say?
I'm getting to that. I'm setting the table here, buddy. You got to set the table. You just can't throw it out there. So he says pretty much, he's like, I'll be sure to forget in an hour. An hour?
Sure did.
And damn it, he didn't.
Promises kept, brother.
Promises kept. Jason, if nothing else, is consistent. And now here we are, rocking along with another show. I love it. Episode 2.
I am the most consistent with my inconsistency.
There you go. Episode 277. Guys, can you believe it? We are 23 episodes away from 300. That puts us, I did the math, if we're consistently inconsistent on our episodes, that puts us somewhere around mid-June, we'll be doing 300. So we're going to have to plan something big for that. Last but never, ever, ever least, the host of the Rob the Genius podcast. He is the minister of truth, the father of facts and figures. He's the deacon of data. He's the official shoot bear of the Mindless Wrestling podcast. He is the king of the power nap, Ray Cash's daddy, and the man with the golden shovel, Rob. Sir, another day, another missed train. How you feeling?
Okay. So,
hang on. It was several missed trains at that point, because, right, Rob?
Yes, because of the weather, the trains are not running on time. And since it is January, and since it's December 30th, I decided I was not going to rush to the train station just to have to wait another 30 minutes. So I stayed home today, but that means I'm going to have to go in tomorrow on New Year's Eve when there will be absolutely nothing going on. But, you know, whatever.
Yeah, we're going to be busy tomorrow, surprisingly. Our cataract doctor is back. She's seeing all her post-ops. Because last week was a holiday, we have to see all of her 1 week post-ops from last week. So we've already looked at the schedule. Tomorrow's going to be cranking for us, but that's fine. It'll go by quick.
Wait, you guys are working on New Year's Eve?
Yeah, pal. That's what the working stiffs do.
Oh, man. You know what you guys are? You guys are suckers. Also, listen to this.
He's already cracking a beer, this asshole.
Anyhow.
This asshole, listen to the. So, Jason, you're depriving the fine folks of Boston of their oil and their heat?
I'm not, because I have a wonderful crew who's going to be working there, you know, having a good time. But I particularly am having a day off.
Oh, listen to you.
My coworker's going to be burning the midnight oil, as it were, but not me.
Jason's going to be drinking. Jason's going to be day drinking tomorrow. I love it. That's great. But if you're in the Boston area and you're suffering in the cold, send all of your hate mail to It's Ray Cash on Twitter.
That's right.
So, all right. So this, yeah, Ray, we love you, brother. We love you like a brother. Fourth chair on the show, Mr. Ray Cash. All right, so we are a wrestling podcast. We're going to have a lot of fun tonight. We've got a big show lined up. We're going to start off. I'm going to give you the rundown here real quick. We're going to start off just kicking around the latest, and because 2025 got to go out with a bang, some type of controversy, some type of, you know, us versus them, and we're going to discuss that. William Regal threw out a pretty long tweet, a pretty long thread yesterday that, you know, stirred up the hornet's nest, and we're going to kick that around a little bit. Then we're going to talk.
It stirred up the geeks, let's be honest.
It did. It stirred up the dorks. It really did. Yeah, and we're going to kick some things around and talk about that. Next up, and from there, we're going to move out of the negativity. The rest of this episode is nothing but positivity. I want to talk good things. We are going to talk the wrestling year in review. No matter the company, WWE, AEW, TNA, Ring of Honor, CMLL, all of it, AAA. Anything you liked. We're going to talk about AAA, all of it. We're going to talk about it. MLW, GCW, if you watched it, you saw something you liked. I want to close this show out with positivity. From there, we're going to give our match of the year. You know, we've been kind of loosely keeping track of this. I know at the beginning of the year, Jason made it a point. Each week, update your match of the year. Each week we discuss it. We have failed to do that, like we failed to do so many other things.
Every week, but I at least wanted to do it once a quarter, and I feel like we didn't even do that. So
no, we didn't. We didn't. We failed miserably at that. But I do have a match of the year. I have a match of the year, and I have a runner-up.
Well, just to fill everybody in, we'll get to it later, but I did ask the boys, like, okay, start January 1, and as soon as, like, the first match you see, I'm sorry, that's your match of the year because you got nothing else. And then if the next match takes it, great. And then you'll get a few weeks in, and then you'll actually have a real match of the year. And we did. And it did. Let's just tell everybody, we are not doing this as if it's match of the year for ESPN. I'm going to write an article about the match of the year in wrestling for ESPN or for Pro Wrestling Tees or for whatever. No, this is Jason and DJs. And Rob, based on how I watch wrestling and who I like even, this is my match of the year. So it might be a little bit of a homer pick, but I feel like we're all pretty well-versed that we're not going to pick just some stupid squash match because our favorite guy won.
Right. So we'll do that. And then after that, we want to just three things. I want to limit this to three things that we'd like to see in 2026 from pro wrestling in general. Again, any company, any wrestler, any company, anything that you want to see. I wanted to limit that to three things. And then we're going to round out the whole show with our three wrestling-related New Year's resolutions. I already have mine. So that's what we're doing on this show this week. Let's kick things off here with the topic at hand. And I don't, Jason has put his foot down. I wanted to go about 30 on this because there's definitely 30 minutes worth of discussion to be had here. Jason said absolutely not. And after further thought and understanding, we don't need to because it really is dork behavior that we're even having this discussion.
DJ, I just want to say I'm not like yucking your yum or whatnot. There is, for everything you're about to talk about with what Regal says, there's not 30 minutes of conversation. There's 2 hours. There's 6 hours. There's 12 days.
But I feel like we periodically have this discussion about every quarter.
For us, as let's be real, we are the audience. For us as audience members who love this shit way too much, who actually care about the actors, there's only a certain way this can go. Continue, my friend.
Okay, so long story short, basically there was a AEW show this weekend, and which one was it, Rob? Because it was World's End.
World's End and
AEW World's End.
Yeah,
and it was it the finals of the Continental Classic with Mox and Fletcher?
I think they were the semifinals.
I didn't watch it, so I'm only going on what I saw and what I know happened this weekend. It was Moxley versus Kyle Fletcher, and there was a bump at some point during the match, and I've seen the clip where Moxley hits Fletcher with what looks like a modified dragon suplex from the middle rope, and Fletcher lands awkwardly on the back of his head and his neck. And it just kind of...
First of all, it wasn't a suplex. It was just a fall backwards.
Okay, see, to me, it was kind of weird the way it looked. To me, it looked a bit like a dragon suplex, but okay, I'll take it.
No, I agree with you. That's what they were kind of going for, but even still, for what we're talking about, it's like you didn't go high enough.
Right. It wasn't a high-angle suplex at all.
Yeah.
But still, he still landed a bit awkwardly on the back of his neck and his head, Fletcher did. As far as I'm aware, he's okay. I've watched the clip 3 or 4 times. Somebody had it slowed down. I don't want to say the move looked safe because I can't say. It looked pretty nasty to the layman. But I also understand that John Moxley is a professional and John Moxley is well-trained and John Moxley is trained enough to protect his opponent on such a move. That being said, Regal came out either the next day or same day or something and made a very, and I'm not going to read this because it was a very, very long statement about risks being taken in professional wrestling. And he used his own personal career and his own personal injuries and his own personal health to spotlight that. And how, you know, at a very young age, he was forced to retire because his neck was just fused and couldn't do it anymore. And he was basically once again imploring people to slow down and not take these risks. And of course, a lot of wrestlers who have been in the business and who have neck injuries, Ivar chimed in among other people and again, in agreement with him and basically saying, yeah, you know what? He's like, in this quest of ours to thrill and entertain fans, there's a line and there's a limit to what the human body can do, and we need to learn what that is. And he sees all these younger people, and Fletcher's only what, 22? No, he's 27.
Yeah,
27. Fletcher's 27, so he's not a kid. He's not Javon Evans, but he's still fairly young and green in the business as far as like that end of things goes. So, of course, in their head, a lot of these younger kids, they want to thrill the crowd. They want to pop the marks. And in their heads, they're like, this is what I have to do to get to the next level. And basically what Regal's trying to say is we got to slow it down. And this is where the nerds and the dorks started to chime in and started to, you know, school the professional, you know, the guy with nearly 40 years of experience in the industry. The nerds are going to school him on, you know, what's right and what's wrong in a wrestling ring. And I don't want to get too deep on all that. I'd like to discuss the meat and potatoes of what Regal was saying here. And I'm going to put it to you guys. I'm going to put it to the audience the way I put it to you and Jason. I am thrilled by thrilling wrestling moves. Like, there are some athletes out there doing some incredible things. Stuff that when I was in the business, we frowned upon because for this exact reason, the risk of injury and the risk of serious injury. And, you know, it only takes one. I hate to bring up Big E, but look at Big E. You know, we're here because Big E took a bump that he probably didn't need to be taken on the outside. That was just a belly to belly suplex that guys do day in and day out. And Big E's probably taken 100 of them. And Ridge Holland had probably given 100 of them.
That's not even a bump you don't need to be taken. Yes, if you look in the greater picture of a match on 9/15 on SmackDown, do we need to be doing that spot? No.
Right.
But is that a spot that it's like, oh my God, reserve that for WrestleMania? Also, no. So that, right. But I mean, DJ, I'm also trying to say that goes into your greater point where I feel like Regal was specifically saying, like, stop landing on your head, stop landing on your neck. Like, first of all, stop doing it on purpose, because I know some of you guys, like, do, not on purpose, but you don't care if you do. And then also, like, figure out these spots, man. Like, because a random belly-to-belly suplex on a random Tuesday ended Big E's career. And
yeah.
say what you will about Ridge, but he wasn't just some bobo out there. He one mistake. That's all it fucking takes.
Like, but the point I made to you guys, and the point I want to make to our audience, and more importantly to the dorks that are out here giving Regal the whataboutisms, I like a lot of wrestlers. And personally, I like seeing my wrestlers on TV. I like seeing my favorites week in and week out. I would much rather on regular weekly TV, at house shows, at things like that, see my wrestlers more doing less. It's perfectly okay. And there's a bigger point to that I'm going to make at the tail end of this discussion, because Rob hasn't had a chance to say anything here, and I'd like to give him a minute to speak. But that's my point. I would much rather a lot of these guys not unload the clip every single time they come out there. Slow it down. Dial it back a bit. Give people the big moments. Make them pay for the big moments. There's certain things you don't just give away for free on a Wednesday night or a Tuesday night or a Monday night. You save that shit, make people want it, make them pay for it, make them watch the big events if they want to see the big things. And the other last point before I kick it over to Rob is repetition. The more frequently you do these high-risk type of things, the higher your risk of injury is. It's just simple mathematics. You know, the more you do it, the higher the risk. It's not that hard to figure out. So I'm going to kick it over to Rob. I've got some more thoughts.
One last thing. The more you do it, the less it pops the crowd. If you do it every single week, every single day,
I'm going to get to that.
So I'm sorry. Kick it, Rob.
Yeah, no. Rob, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. So as somebody who spent like whose favorite woman wrestler was out of action for over a year with an injury, like DJ was saying, it sucks when your favorite wrestlers are not on television. Okay. And that was a whole year where, quite honestly, as much as I talk about women's wrestling, with research I do and how much women's wrestling is on TV and all that stuff, and as supportive as we are on this show of women's wrestling, for that entire year, I very much didn't give much of a shit about what was going on in the WWE women's division because my favorite woman wrestler was not able to participate. Okay. It sucks. Okay. And, you know, whoever your favorite wrestlers are, if they're out, you know, cause we know some folks who were big Bayley fans when Bayley was out for that year with the blown out knee, they were like, they didn't give a shit either. Okay. What was going on?
Hey, remember when I had tickets for WrestleMania and all of a sudden my favorite guy wasn't able to perform anymore. And then, you know, the world shut down and then, yeah, it sucks, and it ruins your whole year of wrestling.
Yes, it absolutely does. And so, and you don't want to see that. I'm sorry. And I'm about, when I was in high school, I was on the wrestling team, and I was not very good. But we had one of the meets. We had basically the guy from the other team gave one of our guys a. Well, basically a belly to back suplex, which you're not supposed to do in high school wrestling.
No, you're not.
Woo!
No.
But the landing and the way the guy and the corpse, they landed fucked up because no one knows how to take a belly to back suplex when in the 11th grade. And
when it's a shoot.
Yeah. And so the guy, yeah. And so my teammate, Mike Stryker, he ended up getting a neck brace and a stretcher. Okay.
No way was your teammate's name Mike Stryker?
Yes, that's his name. Yes, Mike Stryker. And
that's wild for a shooter.
Is he still in some sort of professional fighting career?
Well, no, he's a crazy 50-year-old adult rugby player now.
So, wow.
Perfect.
He looked better.
Perfect. Nope. No notes. We're good. Thank you.
Okay.
That is the career that man should have.
I mean, he has like a shoot job, but I mean, he plays that like, he travels.
No, I don't care.
He travels.
I don't care. Man Stryker should have some sort of physical contact job. Sorry, continue.
but he got put in a brace and got put in an ambulance and got carried down the stretcher that night. Okay.
That's scary shit, man, for a high school kid.
Yeah, and that's
scary for anybody, but goddamn high school.
Right.
Yeah, and that was that night, by the way, because the referee was letting the other team get away with getting away.
Yeah.
And was it home cooking?
And oh, and that is when, and I'm going to share the story now. After the match, after the meet, a man walked up to the referee and he said, if that was my son, I would have kicked your fucking ass.
Ah.
That man was Master Chief Petty Officer Robert L. Bonnet.
I was about to ask, was that Master Chief Petty Officer Bonnet? Hell yeah. Hell yeah. That's my guy.
It. Yes. Okay.
Excellent.
I would slap the shit out of you, boy.
And I guarantee you he would have. Okay.
Yeah. It, no doubts in my mind, brother.
But anyway, it sucks. Don't want, I mean, when those type of injuries happen, it like you, and this isn't like, you know, football where people were getting hit as part of the sport and you just got to kind of accept it sometimes. You have all the control over what you're going to do. Over.
Sorry, this is when we have to say, it's fake, man.
Yeah.
It's staged. Your opponent is supposed to protect you, actually.
Yeah, like, exactly.
You need to work together and stop trying to kill each other or kill yourself on your opponent's body.
Yes, like you didn't have the option of going up to Lawrence Taylor and saying, hey, man, when I run into the sideline in this play, just pull up, okay? Like, you know, here's the option of doing that, right?
Ask Bosworth about that.
Yeah, exactly.
Listen, man, I don't care if Kyle and Mox want to beat the shit out of themselves. I don't. They're both, they've been in the game way long enough. This is not like, I don't know, Tiffany Stratton and Javon Evans or something. Like, this is not like you've only been for a few years and blah, blah, blah. Like, these guys have the resume and the whatnot. You guys know what you're doing. You guys know what the risks are. So, like, I straight up don't care when you do that. Like, okay, fine. If Tony has to stop the show because we have to call a fucking ambulance, that's on you because you guys are idiots. But at the same time, you are telling the younger generation and you're telling everybody else on the roster, frankly, that this is what you got to do. And that's not okay.
Yeah. And I think, look, it probably resonated a bit more for Regal with it being Kyle because, like, Kyle Fletcher is one of those people, in the next 5 or 6, 7 years, he could be the fucking man wherever he's working, okay?
If he's you told me right now, in 5 years, Kyle Fletcher will main event WrestleMania, I would not bet against you. If you were like, hey, $50, Kyle Fletcher, main event WrestleMania, yes or no, I'd be like, I'm not taking that bet.
I'd take that bet, but I see him differently than you guys do. I know you guys are high on him. I am still waiting.
You don't watch the show as much as we do. I'm just saying.
Like, we don't, but what I've seen, I haven't seen that.
We're saying he's that talented.
Yeah, exactly.
Potentially.
Within 5 years, I mean. But like, not tomorrow, obviously.
Right.
We're not saying tomorrow, but we're saying.
No, I'm definitely not. I mean, like you said, the guy's only 27 years old. He's got, knock on wood, and healthy. You know, he's got another 15 good years left in him.
Yes. Yeah, stop letting Mox drop you on your head. You got a little 15 years left.
To the fans, I would say this. If you're really a fan of your wrestler, you should get behind this push. For people to slow it down, be a little more conscientious of what they're doing in the ring. To the wrestlers, I would say a couple of things. One, learn how to tell a story. The moves are not the story. And I know nobody wants to hear what I'm about to say. Nobody wants to hear it. People do not give a shit about the wrestling. Yes, we like it. I love a good hold-for-hold wrestling match. I enjoy it. It's my thing in a bubble. Wrestling audiences at large and forever have not given a shit about the wrestling. They give a shit about characters. They give a shit about the person performing the moves in the ring. This is why somebody like the Ultimate Warrior, who could do all of a handful of moves with one finger left over, got popular. Because he was this larger-than-life character that people gave a shit about. And when people talk about how wrestling isn't as popular as it was in the 80s, it wasn't as popular as it was in the 90s, there's a reason. Like, financially, yeah, they're making money hand over fist. AEW's making money. WWE is just rolling in the money right now. The problem is, in overall popularity, I think they're right. And I think some of that is because there are no larger than life characters. And I say no, understanding that there are a few, but you look at the era of the Flairs, the Hogans, the Macho Mans, even going down the card, the Jake the Snakes, Honky Tonk Man, Rick Martel, these larger than life characters that go out there and tell a story. Like, most of these guys did a handful of moves and they made gazillions of dollars and put asses in seats for decades doing a handful of moves and going out there and telling a good story. And yes, Josh, I won't go over the whole thread that Josh Alexander threw out there. Yes, there is a risk with taking a side headlock.
You don't have to go back that far. John Cena, Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
Like, same thing. They're both much more talented than the fucking marks would tell you.
Right, like, no, they both are. It leaps and bounds like, better.
They're two of the best wrestlers on the planet. But also, week to week to week, it was not a repertoire of moves and all of these crazy stunts.
Right. And that, again, we get when you talk about that and doing it week after week, night after night, you get what we call the law of diminishing returns. And it just ceases to be important the more frequently you do it. And this is why, you know, when I was in the business, one of the key lessons that I was learning when I was in there was, Elena, mind you, we're going back to 1997, 98, 99, when I was still in the business and I was active. Dave Johnson said there are three types of matches. He's like, there are house show matches, there are TV matches, and there are pay-per-view matches. And all of them are decidedly different. And in the pay-per-view match, the bigger the pay-per-view, the more balls to the wall you go. And you can give people glimpses of things at the house shows, on the TV shows, but you don't give it all away for free. You don't unload the clip every single week. People, you want people to spend money, and you're taking money out of your own bag. You know, if you're in a feud with somebody, go ahead.
Okay. I would tell you, like, even unloading, when we talk about unloading the bag, you're right. Yeah, you can stick to your five moves of doom for Raw and SmackDown, let's just call it, the weekly shows. And then, or, you know, the house shows and whatnot, and then you got the pay-per-views. When you get to the pay-per-views, if you've been doing your five moves of doom or whatever, you don't have to then go to the, like, spike pile driver to the guy.
Right.
Because let's think about this. Roman Reigns, as the big dog, was definitely a five moves of doom guy. He had a certain set. He could vary his offense and vary everything, and he could work with anybody. But really, let's be honest about the dude. There was a certain set he had to do. That's fine. And then when he got to the tribal chief, he started to open it up and, you know, do some more stuff. But then, randomly, he would just pull stuff out of the bag and never use it again. Like, but it didn't have to be a spike pile driver into a table through a steel barricade.
Sometimes he did a rough rider.
It was rough.
He did a rough rider, and we all popped for it.
And we all went fucking bananas. It's still one of my favorite moves he's ever done. The Reigns rider. It's the best.
Right. But he still hits those signature moves. He cocks the arm for the Superman punch. He does the thing setting up for the spear. Like, all the signatures are there. Raven made a quote one time, and I wish I could actually quote it word for word. He's like, I basically had three moves, and one of them was sitting in the corner.
Well, and that's what, Nash said. And he got, I had four moves, and one of them was the hair flip.
Yeah. It seriously, and they got
and also
more
Kevin
juice.
Nash is one of those, if we put everything in equal 2025 money, Kevin Nash is one of those profitable wrestlers ever.
Yeah. So, that's, you got to think about all that. And I would love, it. Like I said at the start of this, I love, these athletes are crazy. Like, just doing stuff that even in my best shape, I could never do. The stuff that Ricochet does, the stuff that Ospreay does, the stuff that Fletcher does, Rollins, you know, Penta, all of these guys are out there just athletes on a level that people
welcome
were
back,
not.
By the way.
Yeah, welcome back, Penta. They just, the way I was trained old school Southern wrestling, which was all just safer, you know the style, Rob, the stuff that they did in WCW and NWA back in the day. That was the style that I was trained in. And so, yeah, pretty much. But it just, I would rather see my favorite wrestlers not miss a year of their work lives. Will Ospreay, 32 years old. Will Ospreay has been out, what now, for 6 months, and there's no ETA on his return. Like, yes. Literally the hottest prospect in the world. And he's not wrestling because he's injured. Because of this high-octane, high-speed, all-go-no-quit style that he worked for years, caught up with him. And I'm not trying to knock him. I'm not trying to down him. I'm just saying this is where we are. And as a fan of wrestlers and as somebody who, whether I'm a big fan of Ospreay or not, it's not the point. I have the respect for his courage. I have the respect for his ability. And I have respect for his guts to go out there and do these things. And out of respect for him and for the people that like watching him, I want him on TV. I don't want him sitting at home. I don't want him injured. I don't want him, you know, not collecting a paycheck for his family. I don't want him not out there entertaining people. You know, regardless of my personal feelings on him as a fan, people like him, and for them and for him, I want him on TV. These are the things that I want as a fan. And I think as fans, we need to want that more and just stop with this bloodlust and, you know, give us more, put your body on the line for me, risk it all for me. It's selfish. It's fucking selfish.
Rob, we've spent way too much time on this because obviously.
Yeah, I want to move on.
And we would like wrestlers to just take care of themselves as they sports entertain us. Like, because we're weird people that don't just care about the characters. We care about the actors behind them. Yeah. So with all of that said, I'm going to just say my little piece. Rob, you could say your piece and take as much time as you want because DJ and I have been going crazy.
Right.
And then we're going to move on. But
we are. We're going to go to commercial and then move on.
DJ. Okay. William Regal says, hey, guys, stop landing on your head and stop landing on your head so goddamn much and stop landing on your head to pop people. Basically is the gist of his message. Okay, and I would tell you two things. If you are a thinking, feeling professional wrestler who has been in the business for any sort of time, I don't even have to go back to all the people that he talked about, like Japanese guys who broke their necks and blah, 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 blah. I just have to look at two people, Daniel Bryan and Big E. Daniel Bryan worked a high-risk style for a long time and did a stupid move that was really dumb and beat the shit out of his neck. And look what happened. And then you go to the opposite side. Big E, who really, like, I'm sorry. We can say whatever we want about whoever, but ultimately it was a nothing move that ended Big E's career. It was a nothing move. That any of the, like, if you walk into any locker room, you could say to these guys, hey, can you do an outside belly to belly suplex or belly to back suplex? Yeah, no problem. And it just, it went wrong one time. So hang on. That one went wrong one time. This guy's career is over. That Daniel Bryan kept doing stupid shit and his career, fortunately, it was not over, but took a long hiatus. Like, how much more information do you need to just be a little safer and not just go balls to the wall every single time? And more importantly, I think this was the gist, was stop having finishers and signatures and, like, moves you do land on your head and neck. Stop it. Like,
yeah,
that's it. So, Rob, go ahead. Finish this up.
Okay, finish this up, and then we're going to commercial.
Okay, so I'm going to refer to, you know, a former wrestling manager, Mr. Jimmy Cornette.
With stuff like this, he's usually really good.
Okay, well he said that basically the most influential, probably the most influential match in the history in the last several, you know, in the modern era, the most influential match of pro wrestling history, pro wrestling as we know it, lasted all of 45 seconds. And that was when Bruno Sammartino won the WWF title for the first time. He ran across the ring and he grabbed Buddy Rogers and threw him in a, like an over-the-shoulder backbreaker, and Roger tapped out. And it took like 45 seconds. And Bruno was the, you know, and then Bruno was like the first megastar. Maybe he might have been the first, but he was the megastar world champion as we know it. Started there.
Yeah.
Okay, the guy who could, who got invited into rooms with, you know, real professional athletes, even though he was a fake professional athlete. That guy. It started, Bruno was the guy that really kicked that off as far as for pro wrestling as we know it. And that era started in 45 seconds. Okay. And, you know, he didn't have to run through a flaming table or do a twisting, jumping, flip in the air or whatever. And in fact, there was a guy who did the high flying stuff, Antonio Rocca, back during that era. But he was the world champion. The world champion was Bruno. Okay.
Yep.
The guy who didn't do all that stuff. Okay. And, you know, and so, and look, that carries on to this day. I mean, you know, Jey Uso, and people shit on Jey Uso, but he got as popular, he got that popular. Okay. Whatever you think about his wrestling. Okay. He got that popular. Okay, he won the world title at WrestleMania. He became that popular. Okay.
And how many matches did he work? Count the live shows, count the SmackDowns, count the this, count the that. How many live shows do? The best ability is availability.
Yeah.
And Jey Uso has that in spades because he doesn't beat the shit out of himself. The big dork who runs a professional, or is a small part of a professional wrestling podcast. Would I like Jey Uso to work a little harder once in a while? Not harder, but I mean more high impact and like crazier and blah, blah, blah. Once in a while, I would. But also I look at Jey Uso's career and I look at the consistency that he has displayed and I go, well, I can't exactly argue with the guy's, you know, results.
Right. So let's call it a wrap on that particular segment. Yeah. We've said our piece. I don't think there's much more we can add to the discussion there. Let's take a quick commercial.
Stop landing on your heads.
Yep, stop landing on your heads. Let's take a quick commercial. Before we do, let's hawk some t-shirts. I want to invite you, the listener, to go over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. From there, you can look at, browse, peruse, if you will, all the t-shirt options available from your favorite Chair Shot Radio Network podcast, including this one, the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. Go over there, check them out, pick one up. The starving artists on these shows will thank you. Your bodies will thank you if you spend a couple extra bucks and pick one up in soft style. That is prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk the year in wrestling. What we liked, and we're going to keep it positive. I'm not going to talk about what we didn't like. I want to talk about what we liked, what we enjoyed, and the net positive of the year. We're going to end this show. We're going to end 2025 on a positive note here on the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. We'll be right back.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis. With attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
And we are back as we wrap up 2025. We are going to talk wrestling, the year in review, the stuff we really liked. I think there was a lot to be said for all companies. WWE had some highs, had some lows. I mean, I'm not going to talk about the lows. I think creatively, WWE was a bit hand-bound because of the John Cena retirement tour. I think a lot of things going on creatively hinged on that, and then all the peripheral stuff just kind of was like floating along. But there was some really good stuff in there. AEW, I think the big story here, AEW creatively seems to have turned the corner. AEW took it on the chin after CM Punk left. 2023 and 24 were not good years for the AEW. Not only in the terms of what they were putting on TV, the quality dipped, fan interest dipped, wrestler interest dipped. You know, a few other people left AEW, came back to WWE. One of them left WWE, went back, and then ended up in a contract no compete dispute. But that's a whole other story. But AEW in 2025 has seemingly turned that corner, and this is important for them. Because it really, not that they were ever in any danger of closing shop, because I don't think AEW as we know it is ever going to close shop. I think we're 6 years in now. I think it's going to be a thing for quite a while, and that's a good thing. That's a positive. But yeah, 2025, we had this amazing resurgence with Hangman Page. They 100% stuck the landing on the finale with him and Mox. We can complain about the Death Riders all day long. I think it stunk out loud. But that moment in time, that capsule was perfection. It was booked very well. It was ended very well. They had the timeless Tony Storm, Mariah May. They had the culmination of that feud. They had an increase in the amount of time and matches that women are getting on their programming now, including the first ever women's Blood and Guts match, which I'll flat out say it, I thoroughly enjoyed. I really, and you guys don't hear me say that much very often about AEW. Me saying I thoroughly enjoyed something is me telling you something. So I think that's a big thing that, you know, that I wanted to talk about was how AEW has found a way to make me care a little more, which is all I've been asking for the last 4 to 5 years. Make me give a shit. Make me care. And they seem to have started to put forth that effort. I don't know what they're doing differently creatively. I read something recently, actually today I read it. Tony stopped doing creative meetings and is doing all the creative himself now. So I don't know if maybe there was just a case of too many cooks in the kitchen and them not agreeing on what his vision for his company should be and him now streamlining that vision is the positive here or what's going on. But I can safely say I have watched more AEW this year than I have in its entirety since what, 2019 when they started?
Yeah.
Yep.
So that I had a couple other things, you know, not just AEW, but I don't want to take up the entire floor here. I'm going to kick it over to Rob, let him talk, and we can just kind of go around the circle here a little bit for a few minutes.
Okay, on the AEW front, the biggest thing is that they got back to satisfying their most loyal fans. Because last year, it had gotten to the point where even those people were like, oh, this shit sucks.
Hang on, Rob, can I jump in and just say my one thing about AEW, and then you could just run with it? Because I feel like this year, they have found the balance. Like, well, this year, because Mariah and Tony was this year, and starting last year, they found the balance between sports entertainment and, yes, if you want Kickout Palooza graps and crazy stunts, if you're looking at all the nationally broadcast, you know, wrestling companies, if you want graps and stunts and crazy shit, you go to AEW. But they have been more spent sports entertaining in the last like year and a half than they've ever been. And it's been a huge improvement in that area. Rob, go ahead.
Okay. The biggest thing I think from what I've observed is that they got, you know, they started satisfying their core audience again, or start satisfying them more again. I've seen much more positive reactions to things this year than there were last year, for sure. And, I mean, that's important because, look, I mean, once you start losing those people, then it's over. So it was important to, you know, start winning those people back while, you know, getting interest from people like me and DJ who just were not, who were adamant about not being on board for a very long time. And so, I mean, those things are important, and I think that they've found their way with that, and I would say, like, they've made leaps and bounds as far as how they present the women on the show now. And now a lot of that is because they quite frankly went out and they got some better women wrestlers than they had at the beginning. And so they can actually do more stuff with them, but you still have to do it. And they have been, and they should, you know, they get credit for that. They're giving them more time on TV. They're getting more time on pay-per-views. They've, you know, they're main eventing on TV more often than they ever were before. So that, I mean, they've made some real strides there. And, you know, we want to just keep going, keep doing it. And, you know, I think as far as the WWE front, I think, you know, there's a lot of hyperbole as far as people, you know, being kind of down on them this year. You know, I've noticed in my YouTube recommendations, some of the YouTube bros are starting to resurface. And
don't listen to them, Rob.
No, of course not. But now, you know, I did, you know, this earlier today, I did what I always do in times like this. I sit down and I make a mathematical thing out of it. Right? And I literally just, so look, I looked at this year and I just done my own and I thought, just compared it to like, okay, the individual years that I watched professional wrestling, was this year better or worse than, you know, 86, 87, 88, 89? And I found that, you know, it's definitely better than a lot of the years that I've been watching it. And it was not the best year, but, it's definitely, I would put this year probably somewhere in the middle of the pack as far as all the years I've watched WWE programming. You know, there are definitely some things where a lot of people were not cool with it, but there were a tremendous number of bright spots this year. And, you know, just, you know, there's some things, you know, I hope that they clean up a little bit, and we'll get to that later. But overall, you know, I'd say if I had to give them a grade, you know, I'd give them a B, but I'd probably, if I was a teacher and I was grading their, give them a grade for the year, I'd give them a B, but I'd probably write a shit ton of notes and say, look, you can't do this next time. You shouldn't do this.
That's good, because you're telling a B student, which is above average, that you could be even better. So that's all, in my opinion, that's all positive.
Yeah. That's it. There's room for improvement. It was pretty good, but there's room for improvement. And that's a net positive.
Yeah. But look, this is not, this isn't like 1995 where you're just like, dude, you know, you're
also, when are the women get a main event or pay per view?
Yeah. Well, that's in both companies. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. That's both companies. We're still making strides. And again, we'll get
no,
to our,
no,
what
hang
we,
on.
What we,
hang on. I am the anti AEW WWE company. I want to prove that I am everything that they are not. I'm going to be better than them in everything that they do. You still have not had women main event any pay-per-view, and I'm sorry, you've had at least two, and the second escapes me, but there's no way that the Mariah and Tony should not have made should not have made Avenged Revolution. There's no friggin' reason. I watched that show. I watched that event. That was one of the best wrestling matches of the year. So, like, if that wasn't the opportunity, if that wasn't, like, because Tony recently said, like, well, you have to wait for the right story, the right time, the right whatever, you know, blah, blah, blah.
That was the biggest story in the company at the time.
You did it, man. You did it. You were there. You had the 80-mile-an-hour fastball right over the center, and you just held the bat right on your shoulder.
Yep. Watched it slide by.
So that I give him no slack. I give AEW no slack when it comes to women's main events, because women do main event WWE weekly television once in a while. And I am counting all three television shows, so NXT helps. But at the same time, how many, like, Rob, you pulled up the numbers. How many television main events have they had?
Oh, well, this year, okay, well, Dynamite had, like, 8.
Women's main events?
Yes.
And Collision had?
Well, I don't
think you went that deep in the woods. I don't want to get, like I said, I want to keep this positive. Jason.
Keep it positive.
You're right.
Okay. I'm usually the one to well actually stuff, and you guys are usually the happy people. Okay.
Well, we're going to keep it happy here.
Role reversal. Yeah. I can't let you stump for Tony Khan too long, man.
We're not stumping for him. I'm just, dude. You know how I am. If I don't like something, I'll tell you. But if somebody is actively trying to make things better.
Snark aside, this was the best year, and I've been a fairly consistent AEW watcher, at least the pay-per-views. But this year I've been very good about the weekly television and all that. This year was probably the best year they've had for me. Like, for me, for how I watch wrestling, for who I enjoy, for who, like, oh, you're pushing this guy again, blah, blah, blah. You know, it was. So, as much as I snark, I do have to give Tony credit. He's put all the pieces in the right places to actually have the best year for me ever. So
he's trying. He really is trying, and I give him all the credit in the world for that. Another positive for me, like I said, I'm going to go start off with, and then we'll go around the room again. The NXT TNA partnership has just been fun. And more specifically, I still think NXT, from a total viewing pleasure standpoint, is the best wrestling TV show in North America right now. And I say that with no hyperbole, because it's easily digestible. Sean has that thing running like a machine. It's very rare that a thing happens that I'm just looking at like, what the hell was that, or what the hell are you doing? They picked up a bunch of incredible talent. We saw their just the development and further development of the next generation of stars between Obafemi, between Trick Williams, between Javon Evans. We brought Stephanie Becker, Julia, Zarya, Jordan Grace into the fold. Saul Ruka has come into her own. So there's so many good things going on there, and it's playing cohesively with TNA. That has been the most enjoyable wrestling that I have watched all year. You know, I've had some misses with WWE, and I'll talk about that here a little bit later. But for me, the most wrestling enjoyment that I've gotten has been from NXT/TNA.
Yeah, I would say that NXT has been, we're talking more just consistently good from week to week. I would say they were the best show.
Yeah, I'm gonna agree with you guys. Like TNA and NXT obviously being together obviously helps NXT being able to book with, you know, Joe Hendry and all these guys. But, like, it's been week-to-week awesome television. So I don't have much to complain about. Like, NXT has been really, really good. And also, you know, it's the best women's division in wrestling. So there you go.
All right. So let's talk match of the year. And again, as Jason pointed out at the beginning of the show, this is not on any metrics other than I liked it best. DJ liked it best. Rob liked it best. Jason liked it best. This is not some star rating. This is not some cage match bullshit. This is our personal preference on what we liked match of the year. Jason, I'll start with you.
So we were keeping track of these, and I was, you know, even when we stopped doing the show and forgot about it and all that stuff, like I still tried to keep track, and all year, once we got to Solo and Roman for the Tribal Chiefdom on the Netflix premiere, that was why I watched wrestling. Good guy versus bad guy. Stakes are clearly established. Stakes are fucking high as hell. And they had an awesome match. And all my favorite friends guest starred. Cody was there, and the Usos were there, and the Tongans were there, and blah, blah, blah. And, like, that was my match of the year. Until we got to last SmackDown. Because Carmelo Hayes and Ilya Dragunov had one of the best matches for me, again, because I am a enjoyer of a certain type of wrestling. I love Carmelo Hayes. For anyone who doesn't know, he came up around here, Chaotic Wrestling, the birthplace of stars. He trained at the Chaotic Academy or whatever it's called now, which was Killer Kowalski's school, wrestling school. And I've been lucky enough to I've met him, like I've met Dijak a couple of times, but I've been lucky enough to shake his hand and, you know, catch him or like slap him, his shoulder when he hits the barricade right in front of me and shit like that. So I've seen Christian Casanova from Chaotic Wrestling become the WWE US champion. Also, he took it off of one of the best champions they've had in recent memory in an amazing match. So for me, at the last second, Carmelo Hayes becoming U.S. champ versus Dragunov was just awesome. And also because I'm a sports dork and I love the sports part of sports entertainment, I loved that it was face versus face. Nobody made any sort of turn. And even at the end of the match, Dragunov put the title on him, put his hand up, and, you know, we're out of here. And there's no rivalry. There's no nothing. Like, once in a while in wrestling, it's okay to do that. That's fine. And, like, ending the year of that with, obviously, one of my guys, that's my match of the year, man.
Real quick side note on that about Carmelo Hayes, because we have been just singing that guy's praises for months and months and months. Now, at an NXT show here about a year and a half, 2 years ago, he and Axiom had what I will say right now of live TV matches that I've seen. It is the best live TV match I've ever seen, like that I have in person for. It was that good. And gun to my head, it's probably the best wrestling match period that I've seen in the last 5 years. Again, looking at this from a sports aspect, somebody who does like the hold for hold grappling, I enjoy it. It's not everything for me, but I do enjoy it. Axiom and Carmelo Hayes had one the whole and dude, this was in front of 250 people at the Melbourne Auditorium. These guys tore the goddamn house down to a standing ovation at the end of this match. It was incredible. So yeah, and the other side note there is he trained with Kowalski, you said?
Yeah.
You know who else did?
John Cena.
His boss.
Oh, yeah. Also,
Triple H is a Kowalski guy.
Yeah,
that's right.
You know, I think people forget that, and I think, yeah, if he's going to give anybody a chance, it's going to be Carmelo Hayes. Anyway, Rob, match of the year, go for it.
For me, okay, looking at everything, I'm going with Cena and AJ from Crown Jewel. They did.
Well, hang on, what was your? Did you keep track of any before that, or did you have any contenders?
I lost. My way.
All right, fine. Go ahead. Teenager.
So, I mean, but as far as like, if you ask me what was like the best, it was like sick. In terms of like being good wrestling and something that made me happy, I would say that was the best for me. That was the best combination of the two. And because, you know, when those matches that they had back in 2016 were just so wonderful. And just to see them do it one more time, see all the callbacks and then the kind of custom introduction that Cena wrote for AJ. To me, that was, yeah, I mean, that was, if you're combining, you know, quality plus good, happy, fun time, for me, that was, that would be it. And of course I have, you know, from a sentimental standpoint, it was the Women's Royal Rumble, because I talked before about my favorite woman wrestler being out for over a year. That was a match she came back and she won. And it's that simple. I mean, you know,
she looked good doing it.
Yeah. And I mean, and look, there have been better Women's Rumble matches and all, but I don't care. It meant something, you know, to all of us who she is our favorite woman wrestler. It meant a lot to all of us to see her come back. It obviously meant a lot to her. And so for me, yeah, if you ask me, those are probably my two.
Okay. I'm going to go down because I had to place matches out over the year. It started off with Seth Rollins and CM Punk at the debut Raw on Netflix. They cooked. And that match had everything that I like. It had the right amount of the graps. It had the right amount of the sports entertainment, but it had that real fight feel. Like, these guys hate each other. They're trying to kill each other. I loved every minute of it. So I started off the year with that one. Then we moved along. We got into WrestleMania. WrestleMania had a couple of matches. The men's triple threat with, again, CM Punk, Seth Rollins, and Roman Reigns. Again, just a barn burner, a cooker. Everything that I love about WWE-style wrestling and wrestling in general was in that match. The triple threat, same WrestleMania, women, Io Sky, Bianca Belair, and Rhea Ripley, again, tore the house down. So moving on from there, the other one, and this one ended up being my honorable mention, was the six-pack challenge tag team TLC match from SummerSlam. I just love everything about that match. That was DIY. I got it pulled up here. Hang on. It was DIY, the Wyatt Six, the Machine Guns, and God, just fell right out of my head.
The Street Profits.
The Street Profits. It was just the whole match just cooked. Candice LeRae took a hellacious bump. It just craziness ensued. But my match of the year for everything that I enjoy watching about WWE was the men's triple threat from WrestleMania. Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, and CM Punk. The stories that were intertwining there. Oh, get out. Get out. Get out. It's my match. It's my match of the year. So.
Go ahead.
All right, no, that's really it. I gave you my match of the year. I gave you my runner-up. So I had a lot of fun there.
You just had
so
at the end. That's good.
What's the matter with you?
I'm just saying, you know, Seth Rollins, you know, the world is laid out in front of him. He gets Paul Heyman to betray CM Punk. He gets Paul Heyman to betray Roman Reigns. And then he gets Paul Heyman right next to him. Then he gets Braun Breaker. Then he gets, you know, all these guys. And Mr. Glass.
He's a visionary, Jason.
Mr. Glass.
He's a revolutionary. He is.
Just can't hold up.
Seth freaking Rollins.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Seth on vacation Rollins.
That's right.
Hold up.
As we,
my,
you know.
My back.
Actually, I think this one was his shoulder. But
my shoulder hurts. I think even Roman said something about that too.
He did. That trash
talker.
My
shoulder hurts.
Huh? All right, let's move on to the next segment. We want to gaze into the crystal ball here. Three things that we want to see from wrestling in general, any company, or just in general in the industry. It's three things you want to see in 2026. Rob, this time I'll start with you. Have you thought about it at all?
Yeah. Now, do we want to give me all three at the same time, or are we taking?
Go ahead and do all three. Yeah, we'll just do your three, Jason's three, then my three.
Okay. So, first, I want to see a more women main events and pay-per-views in both AEW and WWE, and that requires requires you building match in such a way that it can be the main event over, you know, your men's matches. And I will give you an example. The first time women main evented a pay-per-view in WWE was Hell in a Cell 2016. That was Charlotte Flair and Sasha Banks. But the other matches on the card, it's important. The other matches on the card, there was a Universal title match that was a Hell in a Cell match with Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens. And there was a U.S. title match that was a Hell in a Cell match with Roman Reigns and Rusev. And yet the women's title match main evented over both Roman of Reigns, these matches.
By the way, Roman Reigns actually got out of Rusev putting him in the Accolade with a chain through his
mouth. I fucking hated that. But we're not talking about that.
Buddy, being in the building as a Roman Reigns fan around a casual WWE audience that were getting just like, I was just like, yes! I was a new Roman Reigns fan at that point, man. You couldn't tell me nothing. My guy just hulked up and went Super Saiyan and beat this Bulgarian asshole. Oh, God bless.
Fuck off. Sorry, go ahead. Rob, keep going.
Okay. But my point is that, okay, you need to...
Also, Sasha and Charlotte fucking cooked.
Yes.
I got to get that out there.
Yeah, my point is they got chosen the main event over those high-level important matches.
Correctly.
And that's what, you know, because, I'm not going to give you credit. If you book a shit card and then a good women's match and the women's match gets the main event, that's not the same thing, okay?
No, it was the whole card was good and they got the main event good card.
Yeah.
And we will give you an F if you put a 7-star women's match on before the main event, Tony Khan Revolution.
Yeah, and exactly, because, I mean, but anyway. So that's what I'm talking about here. So because that requires, again, wholesale, like, better writing for this stuff on weekly television and all that type of thing. That's one thing I want to see in that. So that's not just putting a match at the top of the card, but everything that goes into it. That's one. Another thing is, sticking with the women's wrestling, when both companies again just continue to commit to these women's tag teams, because I mean in WWE basically they're piling like 90% of the, you know, top women in the division or the top half of the division, they're putting like 90% of them in the tag team division the last few months, and it's been really good. And also, it's given those women, you know, you have several women who have already done everything there is to do as a singles wrestler. And this is giving them a break from just doing more of that again. And it also gives the audience a break from seeing them do it again. I mean, obviously they're all in the back there at some point, but, you know, I mean, I think it is good to give both them and the audience a break from seeing them keep doing that stuff over and over and over.
Yeah. Well, one sidebar on women's tag team wrestling, about a month or two ago, I pleaded Tony Khan to put some type of championship on Willow Nightingale, and goddamn, he gave it to me before year's end. Willow Nightingale is a tag team champion in AEW, and I love that for her.
Yes.
Oh, my God. And her and Harley are...
They're wonderful.
They're
so wonderful.
So good together, dude.
Yeah.
And the wheels are not even close to coming off. Don't even think about breaking them up. Oh, just no. Keep this thing going, dude. This might be, they're just two magnetic personalities and that just feed off each other perfectly.
Willow's so, I mean, yeah, Harley Cameron she's fun. She's hilarious. We talk about Willow's just so damn likable.
Yes.
Like, she just is.
But at the same time, like, Willow's been around a lot of people, but I feel like this chemistry she's got with Harley is just so good.
It works. Yeah. Uh-oh, we lost Jason.
Uh-oh. So, I'm just continue the commitment to the women's tag team stuff, both companies, because, you know, as these women's rosters get bigger and bigger, like, you know, obviously you have to find stuff for all of them too. Well,
Rob, could I jump in here? Because your
thing kind of goes along with DJ's thing, which kind of goes along with one of my goals for the next year of just continuing this women's expansion. And I'll highlight Maxine Dupri. She has been so good, and they have been giving her time, and she has been knocking it out of the park. And I'm saying along all levels, every promotion, but obviously I'm going to use WWE because I use Maxine. Okay, give the women's mid-card more time. Give the women's tag team division more time. And also, like Rob said, that's where we do it in the men's division all the time. It's a tale as old as time, dude. When the men don't have anything to do, you stick them together in a power group, you know, power tag team. You know, when you have two of your seven main eventers that don't have anything to do, put them in a tag team, have them run around the division for a while. Do the same. Yeah. Obviously, Team Allies of Convenience is doing the same exact thing.
Yeah.
More of that, and run with that, please. Yeah. So, Rob, continue. Sorry. That's okay. One of my things.
Okay.
What's your third thing?
Okay, well, I couldn't really think of a third thing, so I'm going with the obvious. I'm going, as wonderful as this tag team thing is, I want number 15, damn it.
Oh, boy. Okay. All right. So we know where his agenda is this year. Jason, three things.
It can wait till September or October or whatever, but damn it, it's time for number 15.
2026, she needs number 15. All right. We'll see what I'm sure it'll happen this year. Jason, you're up. Three things.
So the continued expansion of the women's division was number one, which I feel like everybody has been moving in the right direction on, including Tony. But various people need to be make various length strides, but I would hope for that to continue. So that's number one. Number two is I would like the folks to think more than 3 months ahead of time when it comes to stories.
Yes.
Because we just saw, you know, I'm thinking of the biggest one we just talked about that has been around in the you know, sphere. They did not know if they were going to have The Rock and, you know, what's his name after the Rumble. Like, what are we doing? I'm just asking everyone to have a plan. That's all. And then as final thing is I'm hoping for a add to the list, man. I'm hoping for a Roman Reigns World Heavyweight Championship reign in 2026. Add it to the list. You can't have a title out there that he hasn't won when he's active.
Well, Roman has made it very clear he's coming for somebody in 2026. He looked at Cody, he looked at CM Punk, and he let them both know that both of you, as of now,
I don't know if Punk is going to have his title by...
He might not. We'll see in, about a week?
I think... Yeah, they...
We are 6 days and counting.
You want to do a little of that?
No, because I got one more thing we're going to do. We're running a little bit long. We got to do our resolutions, and we can hold on to that till next week. Because if it actually happens, then we're going to have a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
Ron's so,
and I mean, just to piggyback on one thing Jason was saying, as far as the planning, I'll be more specific. And I'll say post WrestleMania, especially, please.
Right.
Have this, you know,
booked to WrestleMania. And okay, this guy's going to win that title. That guy's going to win this title. And then what?
Right.
You don't have to do the next 8 months. You just have to be like, where is that guy going?
Part of the problem there goes back to something Rob said a long, long time ago. WWE and really wrestling in general books to the calendar.
Yes.
You know, so, and they're all kind of beholden to that because obviously AEW's big event is what, All In?
Yeah.
And then they have All Out. So obviously your big culmination of your feuds is going to be an All Out. WWE, it's going to be WrestleMania. Your minor feuds are going to be settled at your smaller events. And then we have SummerSlam. But yeah, we thought in 2024 that we'd gotten out of the post-WrestleMania doldrum because the post-WrestleMania stuff last year was pretty good. This year, I still maintain that a lot of the creative stuff was really kind of shackled by John Cena's final run. For me, three things I want to see. I'm going to round out the trifecta here, the expansion of women's wrestling. I want more women's wrestling. I want more time. I want more feuds that don't necessarily revolve around a championship. And, you know, they're giving us some of that. There are things going on that have nothing to do with the championship. It's just bragging rights. I'm the best wrestler. And sometimes that's okay. Obviously, yeah, you want to see more with the mid-card titles. They implemented these damn things. I don't want it to be a here, damn, shut up type of thing. Do something with them. You've got incredible talent. Find some time. You're increasing SmackDown to 3 hours. I'm sure you can find 15 minutes to squeeze some women matches in there somewhere. You know, let's do that. Second thing I want to see, I'd like to see, and I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, I would like to see Triple H as a creative talent come up with something that defines his era. Whether it's a match, whether it's a premium live event concept, something that is distinctly him. Like with McMahon, we had the Royal Rumble. With McMahon, we had the Hell in the Cell. We had the Elimination Chamber. Wonderful things, wonderful concepts, wonderful ideas. I need Triple H to come up with something that makes people go, wow, that's pretty fucking cool. And then what was the third one? God, I had a third one right in my head. My third one, I want to see AEW continue this upward trend. I want that for them. As much shit talk as I have done about them over the last 4 years, I want AEW to continue to reel me in. Right now, I am AEW casual, like the most casual of the casuals. Like we talk about WWE fans, would they tune in for WrestleMania season? I'm that guy with AEW. If there's something that sounds like it might interest me, I will tune in. If I hear about something and my friends whose opinions I trust say, hey, Deej, it was pretty good. You ought to go check it out. I will go watch it. I need a reason to tune in more regularly from them. That's what I want. That's what I want from AEW this year, is to continue this upward tick that they are on right now and reel me in at least more than casual like I am now. Those are the three things that I want from my wrestling this year. So last little segment here, and I'm going to kick this off. I'm going to start with – I'll start with Jason because we started with Rob last time. Your three wrestling-related New Year's resolutions. You as a fan, what are you going to do? What are you not going to do?
Have you thought
about that?
No, not at all.
Oh, good. I'm glad I threw it out like 3 hours before we went live. So
let's go with Rob.
Okay, Rob.
Okay. One, I'm going to try to argue less with people on the internet. And I do less of that now than I did before, but I'm going to just keep decreasing that number. Two, you know, I've been doing all this crazy, wacky nerd number crunching for a couple of years now, and what I want to do in 2026 is to put some of this stuff together. In basically reports, and find a way to present them somewhere, but just compile all the stuff into something that is explainable and that I can explain to, you know, somewhere. And third, went to a lot of shows last year. You know, we went to, me and Jason, we went to Dynasty, we went to Bound for Glory, I went to SummerSlam, and I went to one of the TNA, I forgot the name of it, but it was one of the TNA kind of B-show pay-per-views. Just get out to some more shows, and probably not as many as this year, because this year I completely just shot my wrestling fan budget to hell this year. So it won't be as many in 2026. But, you know, I, you know, still want to at least get out to a few.
All right. That's all three for you?
Yeah.
Jason, did you come up with any? Or do you want me to go?
Yeah, I did.
Go for it.
So I want to be – this is a kind of a cop-out, but it is for me. I want to be more positive in my wrestling viewing this year. Because I feel like I've made strides in that direction, but we could always strive for improvement. Number two is kind of like Rob. You know, I went to a lot of awesome shows, obviously Dynasty and everything I went to with Rob, and Bound for Glory and all that. But I would like to go, obviously I'm still going to go do as many, you know, big shows that are around my area that I can, but also I need to go back to more indie shows. Like, that's what got me into this when I first started getting back into wrestling. You know, I went to Chaotic all the time, and then for some reason I just, you know, responsibilities and blah 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 and getting married and all that, you know, it slows you down. But I could make it to a couple more indie shows than I do, so that's probably number two. And number three, let's see. I don't have a number three. I want, but I will say I do want us to, actually, I did have a number three. I apologize. I do want to do more stuff with the chair shot, because I don't volunteer for as many, some of these, you know, roundtable shows that are out there where we're talking about, you know, nonsense. And obviously, I'm on the Mindless Wrestling Podcast. I should be talking about nonsense all the time. So, yeah, more chair shot. That's my final resolution.
My three, I'm going to go in line with Rob. I need to stop arguing with idiots on the internet. Even today, found myself doing it today on Facebook, which is the worst place to do it. I started to get roped in, and I found one like, you dumbass, what are you doing? Don't even comment. Don't respond. Move along. Block. Keep it moving. It is destroying your enjoyment of this, which leads me to my second. Exactly. Which leads me to my second resolution is I'm going to try and enjoy wrestling more this year. 2025 has not been a great year for me as far as wrestling goes. And I know I just sat here for the last hour and a half and told you guys that I had a lot of really good things that I enjoyed, and I did. But I would say as a total net, I have enjoyed wrestling less in 2025 than I did in years prior. And that is wrestling in general, not just WWE, not just AEW, just in general. And I think it's a me thing. I think I hit this weird just mood thing with my wrestling. Some of it has been WWE's availability has been all over the road. Like, I haven't watched SmackDown in months since the TV rights changed and everything, because I don't have the service it's on. I got Raw on Netflix, and I probably watch about half of it every couple of weeks. TNA or NXT, I haven't watched a live episode of NXT in probably forever. Thankfully, the TV? Huh?
You don't have local TV?
If I do, I don't know. I haven't checked, Jason. I have whatever streaming services I have. But I want to enjoy wrestling again, which also includes going to more local shows. I know MLW comes to town. TNA comes to town. These are things that I want to do as a wrestling fan and just partake in more, but I want to watch more AEW. I want to enjoy it, you know, because 2025 had a hard time of a lot of things from both companies in enjoying it. And then the third wrestling related thing that I want to do this year, I want to really, really, really market this podcast. Jason, Rob, we do really good work here. We really do. There's some episodes are better than others, and we have some nights where we're just kind of droning on and on, and we tend to beat topics into the ground. But I think all in all, collectively, we have a great collective mind for what we're watching. And I feel like more people should be listening to us and enjoying what we do. We have a lot of fun on here. We rib each other. We joke back and forth. We sometimes get on each other's nerves, which is part of the process. But all in all, I think this podcast should and could be heard by more people. I want to do my part in promoting it better in 2026. You know, not only for us, but for the network at large, because I think we do belong to an excellent group of podcasters. You know, Tunney and, you know, everything that he does with the DWI and all the multitude of projects that he's involved in. Dave with the, you know, the Attitude of Aggression stuff, the Big Five project, the, you know, the, what's the one we just did the other night, Rob, the unidentified history that we're doing with, yes, with Dave and Tunney, and just, you know, the Greg DeMarco show and the Bandwagon Nerds with Patrick and all, there's just so many good things. And we contribute to that. And it's important to me to grow that network as well as our podcast. So that is my commitment and my, my New Year's resolution for my wrestling related stuff and my podcast related stuff as it pertains to this for 2026.
Rob, did you notice he didn't commit to going to a pay-per-view with us?
Oh, okay, I've explained to you guys, my vacation time is locked out from now until I have my vacations blocked
Rob
out.
Rob and I have done it a couple of times. We did it for a SmackDown.
If I find something happening on a weekend where I can fly out like Friday night or Saturday morning and come home on like Sunday afternoon, I will try to do that, because I just, all of my vacation time for 2026 is locked in. Well, I have a week-long cruise in January. I have a music festival in May. I have another cruise in October. I have just sporadic. And I only have 2 weeks.
Rob, he didn't save any time for us. All he needs is 2 days, and he spent it all.
God, I did. I spent it all on cruises and rock festivals, man. It's what I do. I cruise and I rock festivals.
Hang out with your girlfriend?
Yeah, who does that? Like, who actually? What? Yeah, I have a girlfriend that I like spending time with, buddy. Yeah, I like doing things with.
Hey, Rob's the only one doing it right.
Yeah. No, please.
All right, you, the listener, thank you so much for another wonderful year. We are now coming up on more than 4 years for myself and Rob. January will be 4 years that we took Jason on board, first as an intern, and then finally made him permanent. You, the listener, have been so influential and so important in this ride. We appreciate you, and we thank you for another good year. I'm going to go around the room and thank my co-host for another fun episode and another fun year of podcasting. I'm going to start with Bucky's tag team partner, Jason. Sir, as always, good energy tonight, man.
Well, I'm glad I was on time as always, and I'm glad that, you know, we had another great year of podcasting, and I look forward to at least one more.
At least. We'll see. We got to make it to 300. If we make it to 300 and we all hate each other's guts, we can tap out after that, but we got to at least make it to 300. We're 23 episodes away, buddy.
We're right there. We got it.
We're right there. We're at like the 81st yard line. We're good. We got this.
We got 12 bottles of beer on the wall. Let's go.
We do. Let's get it there. And the host of the Rob the Genius podcast, Rob, sir, thank you for another fun night.
Always a pleasure. And thank you guys for another year. Thank you, audience, for sticking with us for another year. And let's keep it going in 2026 and, you know, above and beyond, or to infinity and beyond. Yeah.
To infinity, Rob, and beyond.
Don't listen to that guy. We're doing one more show this year, right? At least one.
Huh?
Dude, tomorrow is the end of the year.
2026. You and I are going to do a pay-per-view.
Oh, a wrestling show. I was like, what the hell, dude? We're like literally like the last, next to the last day of the year. I'm not recording tomorrow. I told you this. I'm watching Stranger Things and I'm drinking. That's what I'm doing tomorrow.
I'm hitting DJ in the back of the steel chair.
Jason's going through a barbershop window at midnight going into January 1st.
God bless.
That was it. Sorry, Tony. The Mindless Wrestling Podcast ended on New Year's Eve. All right. So before we get out of here, I do want to promote one personal thing here. I have been kicking around the idea of doing a little solo podcast. And I say solo, not because I'm going to do it on my own, but I kind of want to do a brand extension of the Mindless Wrestling Podcast under the Mindless Podcast banner. It's a little project I want to do called 30 Mindless Minutes. And basically, it's just me interviewing different people, talking to different people for 30 minutes. Quick little drop episodes, nothing long, nothing too in depth. And I don't even know what the topic is going to be from week to week. I have a couple of ideas I'm kicking around, talking to a couple people. Obviously, you know, here and there, I want to have Jason and Rob jump on as we talk about different things. But I want to branch out a little bit from wrestling because I do have interests in my life other than wrestling. And it's something that, you know, I'd like to take a little bit of time to talk about. Think it might be a lot of fun. Ideally, I want to drop an episode a week, and I already have like my first two planned out. So look for that in the new year. That will be 30 Mindless Minutes. If you follow me on the app formerly known as Twitter at the Mindless Pod, I'll probably drop it there. But in the meantime, you can call it pro wrestling. You can call it sports entertainment. You can call it whatever you want, but call it in the ring. We are out of here until next year. Love you.